the South Sudan Human Rights Defenders Network officially launched its Civic Space Situational Report covering the period from July 2022 to 2025. And so the report highlights key trends, challenges and opportunities affecting civic space journalists and human rights defenders in South Sudan. It also makes recommendations on how to strengthen protections and ensure an environment where civil society can operate freely. Now, the findings have already sparked a debate. While many civil society actors welcomed the report, some government officials have pushed back, disputing certain conclusions and raising questions about the data and the methodology that was used to collect this data. And so to unpack these key findings and respond to some of the concerns that have been raised so far, we're joined this morning by James Bidal, who is the head of the Secretariat of the South Sudan Human Rights Defenders. Good morning, James, and thank you for joining us on Miraya Breakfast Show.
Good morning to you, and thank you very much for having me.
Well, James, for listeners who may not have followed the launch, what are the main highlights of this Civic Space Situational Report, and maybe even give a background on what sparked the need to do some research and lead to these findings?
Thank you so much. What has actually sparked the documentation process on the civic space that culminated into the Civic Space Situational Report at the incidences that we received basically on the civic space across the country. So we thought wise to train monitors who could systematically monitor, document, and report about these incidences. So the Civic Space Situational Report that covers the period from July 2022 to July 2025, it provides a clear picture of how freedoms of expression, association, and peaceful assembly have evolved over those past 3 years. The key highlights are, first, the civic space remains restricted in many ways, particularly journalists, human rights defenders, and civil society organizations continue to face challenges such as censorship, intimidation, and unnecessary bureaucratic hurdles, particularly if you want to come together to organize for any common cause, you have to go through a lot of processes that involve the national security. But the report also captures pertinent issues, the resilience of civic actors, despite the difficulties people are facing. They continue to speak up, to organize, and also to provide services to their communities. And the report is forward-looking, as it doesn't just list problems, but also offers practical recommendations for government, civil society, and international partners on how to make civic space more open and inclusive in the Republic of South Sudan.
All right. Thank you for giving us an overview of the report itself. And now, this methodology that's being questioned, how was the data collected and what makes the findings credible?
That's a very important question. The data was collected by trained monitors who are based in selected states of South Sudan, which we consider to be hotspots. Those monitors are part of our wider network of the South Sudan Human Rights Defenders Network. They collect information from communities, local media, official statements, and first-hand accounts. To ensure accuracy, we use triangulation, meaning that every incident reported had to be cross-verified by at least two independent sources before it was included to be part of the report that was launched last week. We also worked closely with the civil society partners and the media houses who helped validate the findings. This multi-layered verification process gives the report its credibility and ensures that it reflects realities from across the country, not just from a single perspective, because we rely on different sources and the verification mechanism has to take, like, you know, different forms. And this is how we consider this report to be very credible.
All right. And now there are also denials and government officials disputing parts of the report. What are those parts that they are disputing? And then what is your response to those concerns?
We acknowledge that that not everyone will agree with all the findings, and that is part of a healthy and democratic opposition. We respect that government officials may have different views, and that is natural and healthy in a democratic society. The report is not designed to discredit government institutions. It is intended to document trends and stimulate dialogue. Our position is that we should put the evidence on the table and discuss it constructively. Where there are disputes, let's engage in conversation and also look into substance rather than, you know, dismissing the issues. Ultimately, both government and civil society want the same thing: a peaceful, stable, and democratic South Sudan. And from the launch itself, there were pieces of evidence that were presented. Particularly, there were bars that were set above, and those bars particularly reflected how civic space had been curtailed by the National Security Service. And I think from the launch, that was how the director for public relations, who is the official spokesperson, responded to and dismissed those. But those are things that we have systematically documented and verified beyond reasonable doubt. And as I stated earlier on, the best mechanism for us to do is to present those pieces of evidence and engage in a constructive dialogue so that we'll be able to come up with meaningful solutions and the mechanisms that will help us uphold and open civic space in South Sudan.
Okay. All right. And given these findings, it's from a period from July 2022 and July 2025. Now, let's speak about now, currently. What would be your description of the environment as far as journalists and human rights defenders are concerned, in terms of, well, access to information and the freedom to do their work without interruption?
The environment is still very difficult. Journalists and human rights defenders face harassment, arrest and censorship, particularly when they touch on sensitive political or security matters. And human rights defenders work under constant pressure, sometimes facing intimidation and arbitrary arrest and a lawful detention. But what I want to emphasize is their resilience. Despite these challenges, journalists continue to inform the public and human rights defenders continue to advocate for justice and accountability. Their courage is remarkable and they deserve not only recognition but stronger protection from both the state and the society, because our constitution guarantees protection of all these rights. So what this report highlights, and to also my personal perspective, is that the state has to protect human rights defenders, including journalists who are passionate about protecting freedom of expression.
Okay. Now, given the current situation that you've just described, would you say that there's been some changes since the start of the report period, which was 2022 to now? Have you seen any improvements, or have you seen some areas getting worse, or just some staying on a playing field?
It's a mixed picture. There have been some positive changes. In some states across the country, we have seen local authorities choosing to engage in dialogue with communities, civil society, and human rights defenders instead of using force. Civil society has also become more visible in policy discussions, particularly around peace building and service delivery. However, restrictions on media and assemblies have persisted. And in some areas, particularly around sensitive debates, conditions have actually heightened. So we can say there is progress in some areas, stagnation in others, and even setbacks in a few. Overall, civic space remains fragile and requires deliberate action to strengthen in the Republic of South Sudan.
And with this state, with elections coming up and some of the national processes on the horizon, we know that consultations on the constitution-making process are ongoing. How important is this civic space in shaping South Sudan's future?
Civic space is absolutely central. Elections are not only about casting a vote. They are about participating meaningfully in decisions about the future of this country. Without freedom of expression, citizens cannot make informed choices. Without freedom of association, political parties and the civic groups cannot organize. And without independent media, there is no transparency and accountability. So what I could say is a vibrant civic space ensures that elections are credible, inclusive, and peaceful. If civic space is restricted, elections risk being seen as illegitimate and divisive, which will be dangerous for South Sudan. And what I could say is we need to opt for, you know, an open civic space if we are envisioning these elections to happen in 2026.
And now, in light of the report findings, what are the top three recommendations you would like government and partners to take seriously in this period? Just highlight them.
There are key recommendations that we will need to dive into, and that they are so much essential. And if I have to choose from the many recommendations, what I could first say is they have to be, firstly, reforming laws and the policies that currently restrict civic freedoms so that they are fully aligned with our transitional constitution and also international human rights standards. And secondly, there needs to establish and strengthen protection mechanisms for journalists, activists, and human rights defenders. Mm-hmm. This means we have to create a clear procedure to report threats and ensure that those responsible for harassment or violations are held accountable. I was very much particularly happy during the launch of the report when the Director for Public Relations, who is also doubling as the spokesperson of the National Security Service, mentioned that there is a non-summary tribunal that was established to hold the officers who conduct violations responsible. I think those are the avenues that we need to make sure that they exist, they flourish, so that if any officer act on his or her own capacity, then he or she has to be held accountable within the remit of that non-summary tribunal. And thirdly, we need to create permanent and structured dialogue platforms where government, civil society, and communities can meet regularly. And such platforms will allow us to address concerns before they become crises and to build trust between citizens and authorities. That is the only way where we can open up a civic space ahead of, you know, the envisioned South Sudan elections.
Right. And now, as we are concluding this interview, what is your final message to the public, the listener, the ordinary citizens? Why should defending civic space matter to them personally in just 30 seconds?
My message to the listeners is that civic space is not only a concern for non-governmental organizations, human rights defenders, and journalists. It belongs to every citizen and everyone living in the Republic of South Sudan. It is the space where you raise your voice, where services don't reach your community, and you have the leverage, you know, to speak up, and where you gather with your neighbors to resolve local issues, and where you hold your leaders whom you elected and also those leaders who sit representing you accountable. So defending civic space means defending your right to participate in decisions that affect your daily life. If civic space shrinks, your voice also shrinks with it.
All right.
It grows your opportunities and dignity. And your future will also be open, so your children will have like a free and democratic society. So this is the essence where this conversation starts, and how we started, you know, the element of documenting these incidences in order for us to have a constructive dialogue where we have to come up with meaningful recommendations to open up the civic space so that everyone will dialogue and will have the space to voice his or her own concern.
All right. Thank you very much, James, for speaking to us this morning, and all the best with the rest of your day.